God is good. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. And it's good to be back here with you, worshiping in the house of God together. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles as we go through our study this morning to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, in our opening text. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. The sermon entitled this morning is The Priesthood of All Believers. The Priesthood of All Believers. In the old Jewish church, if you look back in the Old Testament, there was the Jewish system. And this Jewish system, there were priests in the Jewish system. And to be a priest in the Jewish system of old was a very high calling, a very sacred calling, a very holy calling that God had called them to. For these priests were considered to be vessels of God's light and power to a chosen nation. And as it was then, so it is now today. To be a priest or a minister today is considered a high and holy and sacred calling today. Wouldn't you agree, beloved? Amen? Amen? It is a sacred calling. But what the Bible teaches is completely different than what is commonly believed today. For the Bible teaches this morning, beloved, that there is a priesthood of all believers. In other words, every single member is a minister of God this morning. But unfortunately, most professed Christians today believe that they're not really a minister for God at all. And it's for this thinking that because they're not really a minister for God, they can't even be used by God at all. And because they believe they can't be really used by God, they don't really do anything significantly for God at all either. And it's for this very reason, beloved, that God wants us to realize our true calling this morning, to reveal how much He really loves us and the potential and the place and the position and the calling and the ministry that God has called every single one of us to, because He's a God that loves us so much this morning. So as we study the lineage this morning, we're going to study the lineage of the holy priesthood. If we study this in the Bible, we're going to go into a deep Bible study in the beginning, and then we're going to bring it to reality today. But if we study the lineage of the priesthood, may we realize and see God's great love and the great things that He has prepared for those who love Him. Let us pray. Father, as Your word is open, we humbly ask that You may teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Who after the flood performed the priestly office of building an altar and a sacrifice? Notice the Bible says this morning. The Bible says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So if there are only eight people saved, now if the eight people saved, it was only Noah, it was only the man of the home that performed the priestly office of the altar and the sacrifices. Now the sacrifices that were done at this time was to reveal in the future what would happen to Jesus Christ. In other words, to reveal the sufferings of a God. It was to reveal what God would suffer for you and me because of the love He has for you and me. It was to reveal the sufferings of a loving God to you and me. And every time He offered something, He revealed the sufferings that God suffered for every single one of them. That is what was revealed in the sacrificial system back then. So it began with every man. What happened when they came together as a family, in a bigger family? Turn to Genesis chapter 27 in your Bibles, please. Genesis chapter 27, verse 36 to 37. We're going to follow the lineage of the priesthood. It started, the Bible says, it began with every man. And it followed the lineage here. It goes in Genesis chapter 27, verse 36 and 37. The Bible says, and the clan, it says, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? He's talking about his two sons, Isaac and Jacob and Esau. For he has supplanted me these two times. Esau is saying, he took away my birthright, and behold, now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? Talking to his father Isaac. You see, Jacob had stolen the birthright, the blessing away from his older brother. And Isaac answered in verse 37, and said unto Esau, his oldest son, who is supposed to receive the blessing and the birthright, behold, I have made him, Jacob, thy, what is that word? Lord. Now, there's kings and lords. Kings referring to the earthly world. Lord referring to the spiritual realm. Jacob, though being younger, was now to be the spiritual leader over his older brother Esau. In other words, he took the birthright. He took the blessing of the priesthood from his brother. So in other words, the older brother was supposed to have the lordship over it, the whole family, the priesthood. So it first started off, every man had the priesthood. Then the priesthood was transferred into the bigger clans, into the older sibling, the firstborn, according to the Bible. So you see it transferring down. Now the priesthood lineage, what happened next? Let's look and see what the Bible has to say. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. Turn to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. According to Moses and the law of Moses given to him from God on Mount Sinai, who was the priesthood to be transferred to? Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. Notice the Bible says, so we fall in the priesthood now. Every man was a priest of the home. Then it went to the firstborn only. And then in Numbers 3, verse 12, the Bible says, God is saying that, and I behold, I have taken the, who? What does the Bible say, beloved? Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the who? Firstborn. So in other words, instead of the firstborn, I've taken the Levites instead that open up the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. So instead of the firstborn, God said, I'm going to take the lineage and I'm going to transfer the priesthood from the firstborn and I'm going to take it, and only the tribe of the Levites, out of the 12 tribes, only the Levites can the priesthood be transferred to. Do you see that? The lineage, how it's passing down from one to the other. Now, let's look at the diagram here on the handout here. So you kind of get a picture here, the Levitical priesthood. What happened? It says, first of all, it went from every man. Then it went to the firstborn, the eldest son on the top, right? And then it went to the Levites. Now look at the inspiration. It says here from Patriarchs and Prophets. It says, in the earliest times, every man was a priest of his own household. There's number one. Number two, in the days of Abraham, the priesthood was regarded as the birthright of the, what does it say? Eldest son. Number two. Now, at this time, when they did at Mount Sinai, instead of the firstborn of all Israel, the Lord accepted the tribe of who? Levi for the work of the sanctuary. You see the priesthood, the lineage passing down? Every person, the firstborn. Now, only the Levites. There's an organized priesthood, sacred and solemn and holy and royal. Beautiful system that they had. Now, out of the tribe of Levi, to whom was a sacred priesthood given to? Now, turn to Numbers chapter 3, same chapter, verses 9 and 10. Notice the Bible says, and thou shalt give the Levites unto who? Aaron. And to his who? Sons. They're wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. So in other words, the priesthood was given not only to the Levites, but it was specifically given to Aaron as the high priest, and all his sons were the priests. What about the other Levites? What were they supposed to do? Look at verse 6 to 8. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. So the rest of the Levites were to minister to the high priest Aaron and all to his sons who were the priests. They're ministering to them. Verse 7, and they shall keep the charge and a charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And that they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and a charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. They were to serve Aaron and his sons and take care of the whole church service. That was what the Levites did. And that's exactly what they did. Look at your quote handout here as we read what happened. Patriarchs and Prophets, it says, the priesthood, however, was restricted to the family of Aaron. Aaron and his sons alone were permitted to minister before the Lord, and the rest of the tribe were entrusted with the charge of the tabernacle and its furniture, and they were to attend unto the priests in the ministration, but they were not to sacrifice, to burn incense, or to see the holy things till they were covered. You see that? So it was Aaron and his sons, the high priest and the priest. Now look at the priesthood right there. I made a diagram below. The priesthood. Here it is. Every man, then the eldest son, right? Then the lineage went to the Levites, but specifically on the priesthood, it went to Aaron the high priest, and it went to his sons as the priest. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Okay, so you understand, right? It's clear. Okay, understanding that, what happened with this priesthood? Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And this priesthood was the holy and the high calling that God had called us, called them to. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. What happened? We're going to look at, on the back of your papers here is a diagram of the 490-year prophecy. Let's look at here. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. The Bible says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 69 weeks, prophetic weeks, comes out to 483 years. This is actually review what you already know. So starting from 457 BC on your papers here, 483 years, it comes to 27 AD. That is a time when the Messiah, who's the Messiah, according to the Bible? Jesus will come. He will come. And at 26, and after 62 weeks, so the Messiah be cut off or destroyed, or he's going to die, he's going to be killed. And in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He will confirm for 7 years, 1 week, with the Jews, the Bible says. And after that, the gospel will go to the world. And that's what happened when Stephen was stoned and the persecution forced the gospel to go to the world. And in the midst of the week, this is what we're looking at. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, in 31 AD, Jesus was supposed to die. And beloved, he died exactly right on time, beloved. Amen? Amen. And that's what he said. The time has come. What time? The prophecy that you're seeing right here. Jesus knew the prophecy to the exact date. And 31 AD, he knew he was supposed to die. His face went to Jerusalem because he knew the time has come. The prophecy was to be fulfilled. He was to do away with the sacrificial system, and he was to do away with the Levitical priesthood, beloved. To do away completely with it. It was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You see, the system that God intended to point everyone to the sufferings of a loving God had been corrupted by the church to make God and his character seem like he was a cruel and a mean God. And so he had no more use for the system. So he came by his sacrificial system to do away with the law of Moses. And thus the law of Moses was done away. Look at the quotation right below the diagram here on the back page. It says here, since the whole ritual economy was symbolical of Christ, It had no value apart from him. When the Jews sealed the rejection of Christ by delivering him into death, they rejected all that gave significance to the temple and its services. Its sacredness had departed. It was doomed to destruction. From that day, listen to this, sacrificial offerings and the service connected with them were meaningless. In other words, all the sacrifices, but not only the sacrifices, the services connected with it, all the feast days, all the holy days, everything that's connected with the sacrifices were completely done away with on the cross of Calvary, beloved. Amen? No more to require to keep the Passover. Not only killing the lamb, but see, everything revolved around the altar and these sacrifices. And everything was done away with. And the sacrifices pointing to the cross of Calvary. And on the cross of Calvary, this is what the cross of Calvary revealed, beloved. The cross of Calvary revealed a God of love. Now turn me quickly to Matthew chapter 5. This is what the cross of Calvary revealed. Verse 38. Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If somebody does something wrong for you, do it something back." This continued from our Sabbath school, actually. But Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that you resist not evil when somebody does evil to you. But whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also." Verse 42. "Give to him that asks you, and for him that will borrow of you, turn not thou away." Verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." No one of their own self can love this way. And what God is revealing here this morning, beloved, is God is revealing to his word that this is exactly how God has treated us on this earth. While he was on the cross of Calvary and they were spitting at him, he did not spit back. While they were punching him in his face, he did not punch back. While they were cursing at him, he did not curse back. And beloved, while we were yet sinners, and while we are enemies of God, and while we offend him, and while we sin against God, God still loves us this morning, beloved. Amen? And it's this love that we experience when we look at the cross of Calvary that breaks our hardened hearts to see that we need to love others as God has loved us this morning, beloved. Amen? That is what the cross revealed. And that's why Jesus said, "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them who persecute you." Why? Because when we persecute God, God still loves us and blesses us. He sends the blessings, the sun upon the evil people. He sends his goodness, his blessings upon the unjust. Against you and me this morning, who hurt God, who offend God, who sin against God, there is a God out there that loves you, and he still blesses you, beloved. And it is that mercy he shows you that breaks your heart, that you will not want to sin and hurt them again, beloved. Amen? Amen? That is a God we serve this morning. And then when we experience that love, we go out and we do the same thing that we experience that God has given to you and me this morning. That love and forgiveness. Now, the priesthood was done away with, the Levitical priesthood, the organized priesthood was done away with. What happened to the high priest? Who became the new high priest? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews, in your Bibles. Let's just see the Bible answer. I like to have a Bible answer for everything. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. And let's see what the Bible says. Who became? So, you had the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron was the high priest, and the sons were the priests. But Aaron was the high priest who became the new priesthood when Jesus died on the cross, and the Levitical priesthood was done away on the cross. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who? Christ Jesus. So when Christ died, he did away with the high priesthood of Aaron and his lineage, and he became the new high priest for us this morning, beloved. Amen. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. What happened to the Levitical priesthood and the law of Moses? Look at verse 11 to 16. Notice the Bible says here. Let's follow along and see what we can learn from this. There's a lot in here, but I'm just going to pick out a few points. Paul saying here, he said, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? If the Levitical priesthood was perfect and the law of Moses was perfect, what need did we have to have a new priesthood, right? There's something wrong with it. Look at verse 12. For the priesthood being, what happened? Change. The priesthood was changed, the Bible says. There is made of necessity a change also of the what? Law. In other words, there was a change in the law. Not the Ten Commandment law, the law of Moses. There was a change in the law because there's a change of the priesthood from Aaron, the high priest, to Jesus Christ, the high priest. There is a change in the law. Why is there a change in the law? Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaining to another tribe, of which no man give attendance at the altar. Verse 14. For it is evident. Well, first of all, Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, of what tribe only could you be a priest from? What tribe do you have to be of? Levi. Listen to this. 14. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus Christ, the new high priest, sprang out of what? Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Why? Because Moses said, in order to be a priest, you must come out of Levi. And so Jesus broke all the laws of the law of Moses because he came out of Judah, not out of Levi, the Bible says here. And 15, and it was yet far more evident that, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandment or the law of ordinances, but after the power of an endless life this morning, beloved. Amen? So Jesus was a new high priest. Now here's my question, and this is the point of the whole sermon. If Jesus took the high priesthood away from Aaron, who was the high priest, who took the place of the priesthood from the organized priesthood? Let the Bible speak. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 5. Let's see what the Bible says. Jesus, we all know Jesus is our high priest. And we always preach it and proclaim it. Jesus is the high priest. We have a person as an intercessor in the most holy place in heaven. And praise God for what he's doing. But beloved, listen, there is a sacred and a holy calling that the Levitical priesthood, the organized priesthood, was called to in the Old Testament. But who took over the priesthood that the Levitical priesthood had carried? Who took over the lineage from every man to the firstborn to the Levitical priesthood of the sons of Aaron? Who took over the sons of Aaron and their role as the priesthood in God's church? Look at the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6, listen to this. And had made us kings and what? Priests. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Do you see that, beloved? There's many more texts. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 in your Bibles. After Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Listen to what the Bible says here. The Bible says, you, those who've been converted, Peter's speaking, you to the church, You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, beloved. Do you see that? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, beloved, a royal priesthood. Not only are you holy, but you're royal. All requirements of the Levitical priesthood that was placed upon the holy sacred office of a priest was given to the believers. Jesus Christ became the new high priest. But beloved, those who are believers in God's church, as the Jewish church, are now in the lineage of the holy and royal priesthood. Beloved, if you understand what I'm saying, let me hear you say amen. Amen? This means you're called to a holy office. Which means we're called to holy living. Now you see it's making all sense why we're peculiar and holy people. Why we're in our royal position. A royal priesthood. Why God is calling us to a high calling. Because every single one of you here are a royal priest, a sacred office, a holy office of a priest, of a minister, of a pastor. A high and holy calling is what God has called you to. There is no more organized priesthood, but instead, you are the priest of God this morning, beloved. Now, why is that so? How is it that every believing Christian became priest? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 in your Bibles. This is to believing Christians. Know what the Bible says? Beloved, in the future. Is that what it says? What does it say? Now is what? Present tense. Beloved, now. What are you? Now are we the what? Sons of God. Are you falling now? Why? In order to be the priest, you have to be Aaron. To be a high priest, you have to be Aaron. And the only way that you could be a priest was that you had to be a son of Aaron or the son of the high priest back then. And now because of right, those have been converted. The only way that you can be a holy priest is that you must be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, our high priest, beloved. Amen? And so now you are a holy priesthood, a royal calling. God has called you to a high calling this morning, beloved. You're called to a sacred position. Now look at your handout here and your papers here. The priesthood. So now you see on the bottom, it says, on the back, it says, every man was first a lineage. Then it went to the eldest son. Then it went to Aaron, the high priest, and his sons as a priest. Then Jesus Christ took the place of Aaron as the high priest, and his sons as us. We became the priests of God. Are you seeing that, beloved, this morning? Do you see how surrendering our lives to Him, we become holy priests of God? But Satan comes along and he creates a false system of worship. And this papacy of the Roman Catholic Church that he creates recreates an organized priesthood again. And all these other churches wanting to be just like the greatest church in the world want to create another organized priestly system again. And so they have the ministers and the pastors and the ministers and the cardinals and the bishops. And an organized priesthood develops again, copying the exact pattern which we were once totally against, believing in the priesthood of all believers. And then God raises up a people called a Seventh-day Adventist Church with a message that we believe in a holy heavenly sanctuary, beloved. A people of Jesus Christ who is now in the most holy place, a special sanctuary message that no one else has, to remind us that there is a high priest in heaven named Jesus, and there are people called his sons and daughters on this earth who are priests, royal priests of God on this earth. And we started off as a movement where every member believed in their heart that they were holy and sacred priests of God. But unfortunately, like every other church, like our children say, well, mom and dad, they're doing it. Why can't we do that too? Right? Ever heard that before? The Israelites said, we want to be like all the other nations out there, right? And they copied the other nations. And then the Seventh-day Adventist Church said, we want to be like all the other denominations out there also, right? And we follow the same pattern as the Jewish church, where everyone is not a priesthood, it's only a sacred calling. And let the few ministers, let them be royal, let them be sacred, let them be holy. And then we don't really have to do anything at all. We can sit back, come to church, and enjoy a nice sermon. We don't have to even live Christian lives. We can treat each other however you want to treat. We can live unholy, unconsecrated lives, and just do whatever you want to do. And come to church, pay our money, and watch people entertain us every Sabbath and be blessed in our pews. Is that exactly the exact place where we're here today? And by failure to use the calling that God has called you to, we have failed and we have weakened the gifts that God has given to us, that we have presented and created weak churches in the year 2010. For if I cannot do anything for God, why since even try? But I want you to notice that Acts chapter 18, verse 3. Notice what happened. What was Paul's occupation when he was ministering? Acts chapter 18, verse 3. Acts chapter 18, verse 3. Paul, in some areas, was supported by the ministry. But some places, notice what happened. The Bible says in verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. In verse 3, and because he was one of the same craft, he bore with them and wrought for by their occupation, Paul, they were what? Tent makers. In other words, Paul in certain places in Corinth, he worked in a full-time job as a tent maker. And with that money he earned, he supported himself in the ministry to serve God. And the thing about Paul is that he was the greatest self-supporting worker. He supported himself. The thing about Paul is that he wrote the most books in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me that here's a person with a full-time job, and yet he was used by God in the most powerful way and wrote the most books and the most powerful messages given in the New Testament. That is the... And Paul, what the thing about Paul is that he believed down deep in his soul that he was a priest of God in his heart. What happened when a blind man came to Jesus? Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. What happened to the blind man? The blind man came to Jesus, and what happened to the blind man? Notice the Bible says here in your Bibles. They came to Jesus, and notice what Jesus did. Then touched he their eyes, saying, Jesus said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus touched their eyes and he said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, how much power you will receive is dependent upon how much you believe. Is that not true? How much power you're going to receive, it depends on how much you believe. If you believe a little, then you're only going to receive a little power. Is that not true? But if you believe a lot, you will receive a lot of power. For the amount of power you receive is totally dependent upon how much you believe. And beloved, how much do you believe this morning? You see, God is not a respecter of persons. God does not say, okay, there's an organized priesthood, and I'm going to bless the ministers only because they're ministering before me, before the Lord. God says that you're all priests. In other words, every single one of you is able to receive the power of God in equal proportion. The problem is not with God playing favoritism with you and me and everyone else in his church. The problem is with you and me and our lack of faith. For if we believe a lot, we'll be blessed a lot, beloved. Amen? If we believe a little, we'll be blessed little. And God is calling you to believe this morning the word of God, that you are holy priest of God, and God calls you as a sacred office and a holy office, that you're called to serve God with all of your heart. Let me tell you about the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. I was at this pastor's meeting, and I'm glad I made it in to hear the sermon. And it was a powerful, moving sermon. I'll never forget it. And God used the speaker in a mighty and powerful way. And there I sat, this move, and I was convicted to repent, and the love of God brought me. And when he finished, I fell to my knees. He didn't ask me to fall to my knees. I fell to my knees. And as I looked around, this is pastors now. We're all pastors in the whole union conference. And all the pastors around me, I saw them here and there, they start falling to their knees. And this person, he finished his sermon. He just walked off. He made no appeal. He walked off the platform. No one's on the whole platform. And here's ministers. We're falling to our knees, beloved. That's a moving of the Holy Spirit, beloved. Amen? And then I seen it. I looked up, and I saw pastors standing to their feet, convicted by the Holy Ghost. Like they want to make like there was an altar call, called by God himself, and they were standing to their feet, consecrating their lives to God. And then I saw it. Down the middle aisle, I saw ministers walking down to the aisle as an altar call. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life, beloved. Walking down to the aisle and standing before the altar, with no altar call being placed and no one on the platform. It was the most serene and solemn scene I've never seen in my life, and I will never forget it. And here's the most powerful thing of all about it all. The speaker, Herb Larson, is not a minister. He's not a pastor. He's not a conference worker. He's not an evangelist. He's just like you. He works a full-time job, successful businessman, travels the world, but in his heart, he knows he's a priest of God this morning, beloved. And God was to use him in a mighty way because he believed much, and God blessed much, beloved. Beloved, if the problem is not with God again, if the problem is with you and me this morning, that we do not have the faith to believe that God can use you in a mighty and a powerful way. But if you would only believe, and my question is, do you believe this morning? And beloved, sometimes we need to become as a little child, because we live in a world of so much doubt and questioning, and not sure what is true or not. But little children, the faith they have, they believe, and God can bless them, beloved. Amen? And sometimes our education leads us to doubt everything, question everything. You must have a thesis and a hypothesis, and don't believe it until it's proven. But the Word of God says that you must believe it before it is proven, beloved. Amen? And we must be people of children, simple in faith, who will believe the Word of God, and God can bless us in a mighty way. This lineage of the priesthood reveals that it went from the eldest son, went from every man to the eldest son, then it went to the Levites, and then it went to Christ and you and me. Beloved, God does not favor. He's not a respecter of persons. He does not give his power only to titles and positions. He gives it to his title that he gives in his word. And that title he gives, and that position he gives, is a sacred office of the priesthood of a minister of the gospel. And he gives that to you and me this morning. My question is, how much do you believe? And when God calls you to do something, say, I can't do this, I can't do that. Believe by faith, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, beloved. Amen? Because I'm a royal and a holy priest of God. I can do that. I can preach that message. I believe in my heart, you can preach messages 10 times better than I could ever preach. But if only you believe. It's not my office position as a pastor. It's based upon what can you believe, beloved. Do you believe the Word of God? The Word of God has created power to do the work and transform your life. Do you believe that? Our works prove whether we believe or not this morning. how much I want to believe His precious promises. Our God is a loving God which gives gifts freely to all. And this morning, I believe we need to read. The priests of the olden days of the Jewish church, they had to consecrate their lives to God. And this morning, beloved, we need to reconsecrate our lives as holy priests of God this morning, beloved. Amen? Our closing hymn this morning is Still Nearer, 301. 301, Nearer, Still Nearer.